He's been seen on CNBC, the Fox News Channel, and the Fox Business Channel. His articles can be found on MarketWatch, Seeking Alpha, TheStreet.com, and many other places. He's the author of the weekly Best Stocks Now newsletter and the inventor of the Best Stocks Now app. He's president of Gunderson Capital Management. Here is professional money manager, Bill Gunderson.
And welcome to the Monday. It is the April 11th edition of the Best Stocks Now show with professional money manager Bill Gunderson and chartered financial analyst Barry Kite. And so far, it's a good day for inverse funds, all right? So that's never
only
a good
game
sign.
In town, you said.
That's the only game in town. That's never a good sign when the leaders in the market are inverse funds. And right now we have the Dow down 93 points, 34,628. We have the S&P 500 down about 0.9% here. It's down 39 to 44.49. The NASDAQ taking it on the chin today as interest rates go up to 2.37 somewhere in that. No, 2.57. We've got the NASDAQ down 139 points. That's a 1% drop. 13,571. The small caps, Russell 2000, down 0.3%. They're hanging in there a little better than the rest here recently. And crude is a problem today. It's down $4.19 per barrel. That's going to be good news at the gas pump. I saw $3.69 gas over the weekend in South Carolina. Crude's at $94.07. The big lockdown in China is impacting demand for crude. Gold is up $11.30. It's had a nice run. It's at $19.57, closing in on $2,000. Silver is up 38 cents. The silver stocks look pretty good. And Bitcoin's down 1,400 to 41,162. So welcome to today's Best Stocks Now show on this week that will begin earnings season. We're going to get some banks reporting. And by the way, this is Bill Gunderson, professional money manager with Gunderson Capital Management, as we begin a new week. And Barry Kite is here. I'm sure he's all mastered out after watching the Masters. It wasn't very exciting.
Exciting for the winner, right?
But yeah, everybody else.
Not a lot of drama at the end. You know, when you can, double bogey the last hole and still win handedly, right?
Yeah, he ran away with it and. The market
has been on that 10-year. That 10-year number at 27 over 275. When you look at that chart, I mean, you said you called the breakout when it was, when it hit above that 2.5 last week, and you said it's breaking out over that 2.5, rate. You know, it hadn't slowed down any. If you look at that, it's pretty much a straight line up still. So,
yes, and that is hurting the tech today with the Nasdaq. Although I've seen a little improvement here in tech here. Recently in the last few minutes here. But we start off on a weak note in the market on the week that we start getting earnings reports from the first quarter, which ended 11 days ago of Q1 here in 2022. And we'll see where we're at with those earnings reports and earnings forecast going forward. We'll get the CPI, I think, on Thursday. That's going to be watched, especially by the Fed.
Yeah, that'd be pretty happy. Yeah, pretty Woo. Big one there.
And we get Friday off. It's Good Friday, so we have 4 days. We got to really go at it fast and furious here, Monday through Thursday, watching the market, watching the river flow here. Okay, well, we ended up on a pretty good note on Friday, especially in the oil. The oil stocks were really good, and the fertilizer stocks. We had a huge day on Friday. We're off a bit today with the S&P, which is down about 0.9%. The NASDAQ's down 1% now. It was down a little more than that. We had the forward PE of the market on Friday closed at 19.7, somewhere around there. It started the year at 23. That contraction of the forward PE is a result of, I think, rising interest rates, which have contracted multiples, just as we predicted they would. The chart of the bond market looked horrible on Friday as it finished the week, hitting new lows for the year. The bond funds not doing well, and high tech not doing well so far in 2022. The big news today probably is kind of a disappointment, I think, for a lot of people. But I think there's more to this story with Elon Musk deciding not to go on to the board of directors at Twitter. I think personally that he's going to go at it from more of a hostile type of
position. Oh, I think he wants to
take
the thing over, right? Because you had the, in terms of coming on the board, I think you had to sign, basically you have to, part of that agreement, right? I think they said was, at that point you could only own maybe 14 some odd percent, right, of the company if you come on board as a director. I think he's like, I want to own more.
Forget that.
I'm
going to come after you with my ownership of shares. And some people think he could team up with a private equity firm and really become an activist investor, creating change at Twitter. There's several Federal Reserve speakers today on the schedule today. That's always interesting. Sometimes, a lot of times, in fact, you'll see the market all of a sudden just start to tank and interest rates just start to fly. What just happened? That happened last week. Well, one of the Fed governors said something in a speech. That's how ultra-sensitive the market is to anything the Fed does. So watch today. If all of a sudden there's a big bolt higher or lower, it's probably because the Fed said something. Now, we also get the ECB meeting on Thursday. That's the European Central Bank. I would probably expect a rate hike out of them this coming Thursday. I know the inflation numbers continue to be pretty hot in Europe. The Chinese inflation numbers came out, and I think that was one of the reasons why the futures went south during the night. Their PPI came in at 8.3% year over year. But China is going to be one of the countries probably that won't be raising interest rates anytime soon because now they're going through a big COVID problem and lockdown and people sleeping at the factories, people locked in their homes, they're running out of food, all kinds of trouble.
I saw stories of traders sleeping in their sleeping in their offices because they wanted to make sure they could get if they went home they weren't maybe not able to get back. But the other side of that is in terms of inflation. I mean, they're buying Russian oil at about a $30 discount right now.
Wow.
So at some point, right, that's got to bring their overall energy cost down. So
way down, and they're buying coal at a big discount.
I'm sure that they're probably buying everything they can get at a discount. But
and they're helping Russia finance their war against Ukraine. I think, our thought about Twitter, look at Twitter just went positive. It was down 7% this morning. And I thought, my first blush was, Musk has got bigger fish to fry. But, then I started listening to other people commenting on what he's up to. And it sounds like he's up to a lot more now. Like you say, the board kind of said, yeah, you can come on the board, but here's the deal. He said, no deal, no thanks.
Yeah, they were hoping he would come on the board, I think.
Yeah, that would
tie his
hands.
At least if you're the CEO. Exactly.
Bit.
No, you're exactly right. So I think they kind of threw that carrot out a little early and were hoping he was going to bite. And then he probably read the fine print and was like, I think I'll
pass.
Yeah,
he's no dummy with as it relates to publicly traded companies. Now Twitter's up 2.5%, and that's helping the NASDAQ a little bit. But that will be interesting to watch going forward with Twitter. Russia halts bond sales for the rest of 2022. Gee, I was looking forward to buying some Russia bonds. We could have probably got a coupon rate of about, what, 100% or something like that?
Yeah, who knows? Right?
This is, we're not going to the local markets or foreign markets this year, Russian Finance Minister Anton Siluanov told Izvestia. It makes no sense because the borrowing cost would be cosmic. I haven't heard that term. I've heard, you know, extremely high.
Cosmonaut, cosmic, I guess
cosmic.
It goes the same, right?
It would be cosmic, like some of these P.E. ratios out there. The World Bank expects the Russian economy to contract by 11% this year. Well, we'll be right back. This is the Best Stocks Now show, talking about events in the market today. Second quarter of today's Best Stocks Now show. Dow down 71. S&P down about the same, almost 8 to 9 tenths of 1%. And the NASDAQ is down 1.3%. The Russell 2000 has just gone positive. The small cap index, I would say it's a pretty mixed up market. We may get a little bit of a preview of our elections here in November, which will be the midterms, because France, they have one coming up. They had their preliminary one, okay, and then they'll have the final runoff on April 24th. And you have two pretty much opposite candidates. Macron, on the one hand, it's hard to unseat the incumbent, but they're after him about, you know, the inflation, and rising gas prices and rising this and rising that. On the other hand, Marine Le Pen, who was his opponent back in 2017, she said, I'll put money back in your pockets, which sounds pretty good, you know. She's promising to cut taxes on fuel and other essentials while giving businesses incentives to raise wages. So we'll see how that shakes out. That could be a little bit of a forerunner to see where the folks are at right now with all of this inflation and cost soaring. Eurozone inflation soared to 7.5% year over year in March. So we'll be watching that one. The Pakistani guy, he's out, and a new leader comes in over in Pakistan. Peru continues to have problems with riots and whatnot, overinflation, rising cost. Now, one area of the market I noticed on Friday, on Thursday was a really strange day. Somebody made some big, big moves, maybe like a Fidelity. You know, one of the elephants out there just came splashing and into the healthcare sector and consumer staples. Walmart, United Healthcare, the big drug stocks. That's a defensive move to see that kind of money going into those stocks. That's kind of whoever was behind that big move. Whether it's pension funds, I don't know. It's probably a big mutual fund. I'm thinking
and
like
it was
the
quick.
Fidelity.
Yeah, it was quick. I mean, these aren't names that everyone, you know, you get all excited about, right? And
yeah.
Throw a bunch of money into it.
No, they were very kind of dull, yeah. Boring names like Walmart and Bristol Myers and United Healthcare and Anthem and Pfizer and Lilly and. You know, it's not like they are trickling into these stocks. Somebody just came blasting into those stocks on Thursday. And that definitely was the leading sector in the market, the healthcare stocks. which haven't done really well, but it just is a bit of a sign to me that investors overall are looking at a much more defensive posture. I mean, 2020 was all on the offense. I mean, the battle lines up there, the front lines of the market, the most speculative stuff out there. And now you're seeing, you know, these big defensive names, Target and Walmart, breaking out like these speculative stocks were back in 2020. So I just thought I'd bring that to your attention. You saw all-time highs last week in the health insurers, Anthem, United Health Group, Centene, and a lot of the big drug stocks, the generic drug makers. Very strange. And at the same time, it was pretty a rough week, and it's continuing today in the semiconductor stocks. I continue to see sell-offs, and I saw that the SOX, which is three times inverse the semis, down 5.6% or up 5.6% today because it's inverse. And as I look at the leaders in the market today, Fanged, that's up 7.7%. That's three times inverse the Fang stocks. FNGD is the symbol. Yang is up 7.4%. That's three times inverse China. DRIP is up 6.7%. That's three times short the energy stocks. LABD is three times short the biotechs. It's up 6% today. SOX is up 5.6. WEBS, which is three times short the internet stocks, up 5.8%. So like I say, I mean, the leaders in the market today are inverse funds. We continue to own several inverse funds.
Yeah, and I NVIDIA, I mean, the chip makers, like you said, NVIDIA's down, you know, over 4.5%. AMD's down over, you know, 3.5%. Yeah. I mean, NVIDIA's down back to 219. Which
those are ugly charts too. And yeah. AMD, I can't remember the last time it broke 100.
Yeah, and it's like
at 97.38.
Yep.
Wow. And I'm reading that they're starting to get canceled orders. NVIDIA, AMD lead chip decline as Truist, that's one of the big banks out there, finds hard evidence of order cuts. And Broadcom, AVGO, the entire chip sector, which had a really good run for a couple of weeks. Now looking back on that, that looked like could have been, I know in a lot of areas, ARC, for instance, that was a bear market rally. That was a bear trap. I was getting emails from folks out there saying, should I be buying this move?
And the chips are the one things, right, that you kind of, you know, we talk about dipping our toe back in the technology water, right? That's kind of the first step. You know, so if the chip makers are having a tough time, then
yeah.
That doesn't bode well for the rest of the, rest of the tech areas, in my opinion, because you have such that mismatch, right, between demand and supply, and, you know, the only way that gets cleaned up, right, is if you either make more or demand wanes, and like you said, you have folks start canceling orders. Well, you know, that's a problem.
That's an indication that demand is starting to wane, okay? And, all right, so now we got the bank stocks will be reporting this week. J.P. Morgan will report on Wednesday. Wells Fargo will report on Thursday. Citigroup will report on Thursday. They're not the most exciting stocks around, but they are big bellwethers of the nation's economy. And, you know, these stocks have not done well. You would think in a rising interest rate environment like we've seen, the bank stocks would be doing better, but they're not. And that, to me, I think the banks are an indicator of the economy, and I think people are afraid of the rising interest rates. Yes, they're good for the banks, but it's also an indication that we could be headed into recession, and the banks are not performing well at all. So this will be an interesting week. We'll be right back. Back here to the second half of today's Best Stocks Now show. Market remains under pressure here today. Dow down 188. Oil's come back a little bit. It's down 350 per barrel now. The S&P's now down 46. That's 1%. And the NASDAQ's down 1.3%. For whatever reason, the Russell 2000 is up. The small cap index. Okay, well, I want to just go back to the banks here for a minute. The reason why the banks have been not doing too well, there's been a big chill in the mergers and acquisitions. You know, I've noticed a big slowdown in IPOs, mergers, buyouts, SPACs.
Yeah, we haven't talked about a SPAC in a while, have we?
No. I miss my SPAC talk, and there's worries over their loan growth. You know, interest rates, we talked about this rise in rates. What's that doing to the refi market? What's that doing to the new home loan market? It's got to be hurting it considerably. As the, you know, the 30-year mortgage goes up close to 5%. Those are big money makers for the banks. You've got the big chill right now in mergers and acquisition. Their capital returns are decelerating. It's not a very good time for the banks right now. Okay, well, they're going to be reporting this week, so we'll get a little better clarity. But here's what Goldman Sachs is going to listen to this week as the earnings calls begin. They think that earnings risks are to the downside for the rest of the year. I would agree with that. I don't think you're going to see a lot of companies saying we're hitting on all cylinders and we're going to raise estimates, we're going to raise our outlook. I think you're going to see more companies this time around kind of toning things down a little bit. They're going to particularly be looking at, you know, their rising cost, inflation, you know, not being able to get enough help. I continue to see that all over the place, not having enough help. Long waits to get a lot of different parts and products. So they're going to be listening for the outlook for economic growth and where consumer demand is at right now. And you got to believe that rising energy costs have probably tempered rising consumer demand a little bit. We're putting so much into our gas tanks, there's not as much left over as there was before. They'll be looking at inflation and pricing power and profit margins. Well, there's a lot of companies that can't pass on. I noticed a billboard there on 17 coming into Mount Pleasant. It used to be, you know, this McDonald's, two for $3. They had a little. Now it's two for $3.27. See, they're not sneaking that by me. I see that.
Yeah,
it
right.
Used to be two for $3. Okay, yep. Now it's just little sneaky things here and there. Packages are getting smaller, quantities are getting smaller. It's happening all over the place with because of inflation, and they're trying to keep their margins propped up, but it's tough. And then, of course, the third big one is business exposure to geopolitical risk.
Oh, yes.
So we'll see, you know, they're going to have to disclose how much they lost pulling out of Russia. A lot of companies. A lot of companies pulled out of Russia.
Yeah, and companies that had workers, right? You know, workers in Ukraine, right? There's a lot of you know, techier firms that had some workers in Ukraine that's been interrupted, and you know, it's, I think it's going to be one of the more interesting, you know, earnings seasons in a while. It's kind of, you know, we always kind of think of it as kind of the, you know, checking the oil, right, of the market, like kind of like, you know, checking the dipstick, and we'll see, you know, we'll begin to get that preview starting, you know, this week, which will is going to give us kind of, is going to start, begin to tell us a lot.
Yes, it definitely will. And we've also, well, I think, you know, I still think that the prospects for the energy markets, were it not for this big lockdown, I mean, they locked down. They have no tolerance whatsoever. Doesn't seem to be slowing down the spread, however. I mean, the spread is just, it seems like it's going to happen no matter what you do. But that's China's policy, and that's really hurt the demand for oil here. But I think that's just a temporary thing. It happened at about the same time they released all of the oil worldwide from the strategic reserves. I think that's a temporary thing. I mean, Friday, the oil stocks were absolutely sizzling, and I still think that the prospects look good, especially for natural gas. I mean, you've got elections now that are going to hinge around the price that people are paying for their utilities over there in France. And you've got wars being fought over pipelines, and natural gas is part of the equation. And people not happy. Voters are not happy, for sure. Though there's some other stocks that I keep my eye on. I see that Dow, I talked about Sempra Energy last week, which is a San Diego utility. But it has huge investments. They saw this coming in liquid natural gas many years ago and made a lot of investments that are now paying off. Dow Chemical said on Monday it will acquire a minority stake in the Hanseatic Energy Hub, which is going to help provide, build, and import terminal for liquefied gas in Germany. And, of course, they're the ones that are right on the front line of this problem. They cannot say, no, no more, we're not buying any more. They are dependent upon that gas flowing through that German Nord Stream 1 pipeline. But Dow Chemical has entered into the fray. I put that on my watch list. I always have a pretty fat watch list with about 300 or 400 stocks where interesting things are happening, like Twitter, you know, and like Dow Chemical, which I've owned in the past. But that's interesting that they're getting into the natural gas business and looking to help out with the German situation. And I think that the inflation problem isn't going away anytime soon. The commodity stocks were on fire again last Friday. They're selling off a little bit here today. But, you know, the commodity and the oil and the energy, they've all got a common theme these days. Rio Tinto, which we've talked about, which is a big commodity company out of the UK. What's their number one strategy? Climate change. Climate change is at the heart of our new strategy, Rio Tinto tells shareholders. Well, they're all struggling with their ESG scores. And, you know, that's a new thing that's come along. I'll probably have to put that in the app as a field here at some point because it's
one
becoming
day when they,
important.
When they finally figure it out and what the real terms of it are, right? But yeah, they're an aluminum maker, and you know, I'm not an expert on making aluminum, but you know, for Rio, I mean, it seems kind of difficult to get a good ESG score, right? When you're making aluminum. I mean, I don't.
And they're a big miner. I mean, they're a big mining company. So It's the way you treat the water, the way you treat the earth, how much carbon the tractors and the shovels and the equipment emits. But you know what? That's something that we didn't used to hear, but now, you know, like we get our data from Refinitiv, which is one of the biggest data providers in the world, and it's not cheap. But they now have a field in there very prominent with the ESG score for the company. Another big problem right now, flight disruptions. It's just, I don't know if it's labor shortages or what, but the demand is huge. And, you know, you're seeing more and more cases of people camping out. We had someone coming in, or knew someone coming in last night. They were delayed sitting on the tarmac for an hour. And the other flight that was coming in to meet them was also delayed for like 2 hours. That's a big, big problem right now. I think I'll drive. You know, I'm just going to drive. I do want, my wife and I like to go around to some San Diego Padre games when they come within our,
yeah, now
within our zip
back,
code.
Right? Yeah.
Atlanta, you know, maybe Cleveland this year, St. Louis, Miami. I don't know about flying these days. Anyways, when we come back, we'll look at some stocks. There are some jumping off the page today. They might be inverse funds, but that's okay. You can make money in inverse funds. We'll be right back. Welcome back here to the final segment of today's Best Stocks Now show. I'll give just a quick little preview of what the market expects here in the way of earnings for Q1 2022. We're looking for a 4.5% increase over the same comparable quarter last year. And about a 10.7% increase in sales over the same comparable quarter last year. So we'll be watching as each of these companies, the bank stocks are actually having a good day today. I was looking at DPST, which is triple the return of the banks. It's up 4% today. So rising interest rates in theory are good for the bank stocks.
And the steepening curve, too. So we've
and
got
the steepening curve, yeah, also is helping the bank stocks today, but tech remains under heavy pressure. Okay, and the stocks that kind of jump off the page for me here today, we own two of the three. That's always good. The first one is Nucor. I have a friend at church that works for Nucor. He says they are busy, man, and Nucor is in the steel and steel products for the automotive, construction, machinery, appliance industries. They've been making some acquisitions here recently. We've talked about stocks that have a high relative strength and a low P.E. ratio as being one of our favorite areas to shop this year. Nucor has a relative strength of 97, and it has a P.E. ratio of 6. And how about a stock that's up 2% today? That's saying something in a market that is not seeing much else. I would say the banks probably are the leading stocks on the upside, and then maybe steel number two. The second stock, these drug stocks have just been on fire recently, and in particular, the generic drug stocks like ABC, which is and McKesson, MCK. But the one that stands out to me today, and it has for quite some time, is Amphastar Pharmaceutical, AMPH. This is a small cap stock, relative strength of 99. I like strong stocks. I think you know that if you've listened to me over the, I don't like a relative strength of 2. That means the stock is just getting clobbered. I like to buy into strength. I like to hold strength. I like to invest in strength. That means they're flourishing. Amphistar has been growing their earnings by 29% per year over the last 5 years average. They had a big quarter where their earnings in this most recent quarter were up 163%. Their PE is getting a little rich for a generic drug maker at 30 times earnings, but a relative strength of 99. Look at the chart. I mean, another new high today. And for whatever reason, there's heavy, heavy buying taking place in a lot of these generic drug stocks.
Yeah, and the long-term theme, I mean, you remember when we were, you know, back when we were writing a couple years ago, pre-COVID, writing about some of the bigger pharmaceutical names, you keep hearing the term, you know, all these patent cliff, right? And so you've got a lot of these drugs that are starting to come off of, you know, all those bigger drug companies had big patent cliffs for a lot of different drugs coming up, and you know, the generic companies begin to seem to be beginning to kind of benefit from that.
Yeah, absolutely. And you know, I'm just looking at a couple other generic drug makers, ABC, which is also at or near new all-time highs. McKesson, which is MCK, hit a new high on Friday. And the last one that I will take a look at here is another steel stock, Zeus, Z-E-U-S. And this is one we own in our emerging growth portfolio. That portfolio is in positive territory for the year. I mean, consider that when you look at some of these. I think if you look through emerging growth mutual funds and emerging growth ETFs, you'd be hard-pressed to find one that's up this year. But ours is. Olympic Steel is Z-E-U-S. We own that in our emerging growth portfolio.
That's one now of my new favorite symbols, by the way. Zeus and their name, Olympic Steel.
Yes, Zeus and the Olympics. That's right. I like this. Their logo's got to be a guy throwing the discus.
You know? Think? Right?
Yes. The relative strength. Listen to this combo. Relative strength of 95, P.E. ratio of 3. That's one of the lowest P.E. ratios I've seen in a long time, and a relative strength of 95. So there's our three featured stocks for the day. Zeus, Nucor, N-U-E, and Amphistar, A-M-P-H. And we'll be back tomorrow. This could shape up to be an interesting day as we, we get ready for earnings. The banks definitely are starting to heat up here. And Twitter is going to be interesting to watch. It's starting to heat up. Now, did you open your statement over the weekend for the first quarter of 2022 from your brokerage firm? I think our people said, you know, we did okay compared to what, you know, the market's been doing. And I got to believe there's a lot of people out there that just had sticker shock. I mean, they just got clobbered the first quarter of the year. If you'd like a second opinion, if you'd like a portfolio review, are you on the right track in a rising interest rate, inflationary, Fed on the prowl type environment that we are in right now, a very unique environment that hasn't happened in 40 years, and that's cause for some adjustments in your portfolios, or you get to continue to get run over by things that don't do well in this type of environment. You can check out our newsletter, see how our portfolios did the first quarter of 2022. I think we did pretty good. You can also get a second opinion. Check out, call us at 855-611-BEST or get the newsletter at GundersonCapital.com. All right. Have a great day, everybody.
This show is not a solicitation to buy or sell any securities. Bill Gunderson or clients of Gunderson Capital Management may have long or short positions in stocks mentioned during the show. Gunderson Capital Management is a fee-based registered investment advisory firm.
All accounts are held at Ameritrade. Ameritrade is a member of SIPC and FINRA.